Welcome to the Quick 10 podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 podcast. I'm your host, Derek White, here with Beryllium and QuickTrack, and today I am joined by Amy Williams from Coalfire Federal. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for the invitation.
No problem. Yeah, this is, if you're watching on YouTube, live and in person here at a CMMC-focused event for the industry and the ecosystem. If you're listening on one of your favorite podcast platforms, then you might hear some rattling in the background, but this is what we're doing, live and in person. So you are speaking here on a panel, which is great. It's a large event, which is awesome. But we're going to talk a little bit about Coalfire, your role, what you guys do, and then we'll get into some CMMC talk.
Okay. So I'm vice president of CMMC for Coalfire Federal, and I manage a team of assessors that provide mock assessments or certification assessments. We also do advisory work for companies that are trying to get prepared. So gap analyses, boundary assessments, that sort of thing. And love to partner with our companies that do complementary work to get those companies prepared.
It's awesome. And that is a big theme at conferences like this, which is nice. The reason why we do this podcast is that everyone's got different experiences, different perspectives, different types of, there's enough fish in the sea, a lot of different ways to solve problems, which is great. But taking it back to kind of core principles we were talking about a little bit before we started rolling here is how CMMC is being leveraged and as a strategy, if you will, for cybersecurity in general. So walk through some of that, assume the audience doesn't know everything about everything, which they normally don't, and where you guys see that becoming a huge benefit, a huge problem solving.
Absolutely. So should I look at you or should I look at the camera?
Doesn't matter. I know it's weird when we do these live because it's like when you're looking at a camera on a phone. No, it's fine. Wherever you want.
Okay. So really, a lot of small companies in the DIB are experts at certain kinds of engineering. They, little nerdy groups from MIT come together, and after graduation, they want to build this thing they've been dreaming about through all their engineering classes, and that's their only focus. And they're lean and mean and capable, and they don't really think about what they do is actually valuable to someone, and they look for a contract with this incredible technology, and it's often interesting to the DoD or some other government agency, and they don't realize that they become targets then, because that little tiny bit of innovation that goes into a part that goes into a part that goes into a plane or something is where the real secret sauce is. Yep. For that product in general, and so they don't have cybersecurity capability, they don't have any sort of understanding of that. And so when CMMC comes along and they say, okay, this is what's going on, you need to have this bit of control over our data, then that's really helpful to them to understand, we are a target. We do need to pay attention. And CMMC feels like a really big hoop to jump through, but it's actually only confidentiality. It's only for one specific kind of information. All of their information is at risk. And so when they start to understand what they need to do to be compliant with CMMC, that turns on some light bulbs about other kinds of cybersecurity they need to pay attention to. And if you have a background in cybersecurity, you realize that really CMMC is only about confidentiality for a narrow set of information. And cybersecurity's confidentiality and integrity and availability at minimum.
Yep.
And there's a lot to that. And it's an opportunity to get your foot in the door, start to understand cybersecurity. And it's also an opportunity to help executives in your organization understand what they need to understand about. This is a strategic initiative. Cybersecurity isn't just a cost center, which is unfortunately the way it's viewed for a lot of small and medium-sized companies.
Yeah, and it's, to that point, I think that's a heightened situation when you do think of something like a framework that is a standard, that's a requirement. Is that does kind of force people into paying attention to the data, right? And it sounds cliche if you've been in the ecosystem and you've been in cybersecurity, but to the end user, oftentimes they're just not built that way. Everyone went on-prem and then it was up in the cloud and then it's this and it's all fine because it works. My computer turns on. Yeah. When it's in a, leadership, business owner, again, small businesses have a million things to do. I don't have all the resources when it comes down to, it's not just secure my stuff. It's this specific stuff needs to be secured. You guys start thinking through it. So you guys probably, obviously, I'm seeing you guys spend a lot of time on the front end around things like scope and users and access and stuff, right? Is that kind of where it starts in the core?
Yeah, if we're helping a company get ready for CMMC, a lot of people are expecting us to start with access controls and jump in on the first one, but that's not the beginning. The beginning is understanding where CUI flows throughout your organization. And companies really don't have a full understanding of that. They don't really even understand where to find it in contracts sometimes. So we help them understand where it flows from point A to the point where it exits their systems and goes somewhere else. And then we build a data flow diagram for them that shows what is. And it's really important to understand that that's not necessarily the optimal flow. That's just what's going on right now. So we build that. And then before we start doing the gap analysis, we talk about what do you want it to be? So it's not unusual to find that a couple of different cloud services are being used and really you should only be using one and a secure one or, you know, all of these little variations. So we have the data flow diagram of what is, then we talk about how can we reduce the footprint? Because if you reduce the footprint, you reduce the risk and you reduce the cost. And then once we get to that point, then the next step is an access controls. The next step is what assets are involved in this and what security protection assets are involved in this and what third parties are you using? And do you have a shared responsibility matrix with your third parties? And then we start to talk about, let's gather policies and procedures and have a sense of what your holistic plan is. And then we'll help you do a gap analysis against that particular framework and then go from there.
Yeah, we heard today, culture is a big thing. And that's been part of the message for a long time, but it really is culture. So if down to the user level then, obviously availability is one thing. You know, we always kind of jokingly say, if you really want to know who needs access to what, take it all away. And the people that bark the loudest are the people who probably need to be in something. So it's not that simple. You can't just shut stuff off. But, you know, so from you see it all the time. You talked a little bit about this before we hopped on. So stuff that breaks, like, you know, in forensics, for example. I mean, users are doing their job. Most of the time, that's what they're focused on. Like, they paid for this. I do this. I have, and then there's process, there's flows. But where do you start to see things that maybe kind of catch people off guard, which starts to kind of break that down a little bit?
I'm sorry, could you?
There's noise going on in the background here. So you mentioned the forensic stuff before we get on here. Where do you see this? CMMC helps for cybersecurity strategy, but where do you see that kind of breakdown from a user level? Sometimes it makes people think, oh, shoot, now I see why coal fires in here.
Well, there's, you know, people, you ask a layperson what they think cybersecurity is, they're going to say that you're protecting computers, but really 75% of all breaches start with people doing things that they're not clear on the fact that they shouldn't do them. You know, they may have forgotten, so training is a big piece of it, but you know, there was a fairly famous case with a big contractor a few years ago where one of their engineers wanted to learn more about engineering and took an online course. And they logged in with their work credentials because they wanted to get reimbursed for the course. And then because it was their work email address and they used their work password, company wasn't using MFA. There was someone doing recon on the watering hole, knowing that a lot of engineers access that. They were able to do a data dump of the IDs and passwords, tried to log in as the engineer, no MFA, got in right away, got access to that guy's full email folder. So first thing that they start doing is, let's look for things with attachments so we can download those or read those. Let's look at the contacts list to see if there's somebody higher up in the food chain and the supply chain. Let's see how many emails that we can write as that. No one's going to question that it came from that person because you're in their mailbox. Good. So then they were able to escalate that like two steps up the supply chain, got one step away from the prime contractor before they were caught. And it was a really simple attack that had absolutely nothing to do with knowing how to do a brute force attack on anybody's system.
And that, you know, I think to that point, I'm glad you broke that down because that is the ongoing threat stuff that you made it right away. You made the best point is that people often forget small companies just don't see themselves as a big target. Yes, right. That is a core principle problem at the end of the day. because of that, though, then they do jobs day to day, and they're doing just as much work, if you will, as other people. So then if you can't see something happening, then how do you know something's happening? And we'll hear a lot of this here in the conferences like this, where the user is important. There's no question. First layer defense, that's never going to change.
Absolutely.
The secure by design, this passwordless world that everyone keeps talking about is always away still. So there's better principles now in place. But part of why there's a conference like this is there is validation. There's proof. You're going to have to do things differently sometimes. And inconvenience is a good trade-off for security sometimes. It doesn't have to be disruptive.
That's right.
And so when you guys are into your prepping, you see it now, I think, probably more that people are starting to grasp maybe like, oh, it is only that many users, or we are doing this for this purpose, not as a whole business, but that probably turned some lights on for some people to think maybe we should be doing this as a small business for the business.
Right.
Because if the business goes away, then there's no work to be done anyway. Yeah. So that's just a thank you for sharing this, because this is not really a conversation that people have openly. It's not fun to have that conversation when something bad does happen.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about it when it happens.
Yeah. I sort of did my career in reverse, and I was a college professor before I was in practice. And so that's where my passion lies, is explaining things to people, helping people understand what they need to do, because I genuinely would love to see the DIB be less vulnerable. And we've built a culture with our team of having the same sort of people. Like, half the people on my team came from the DIB with empathy for what these companies are going through. So we genuinely care about each other and the team, and helping each other, and then helping the DIB do better. And I love being a part of that.
Yeah, that's good. We have share similar principles. We say we have people who have joined our team over the years that they could be where they're at and help a company.
Yeah,
they could do some trainings. They could do other things that are educational focused and help some companies, or they could be a part of an ecosystem and be a part of something where you can help lots of companies. And it doesn't have to just be us helping them, right? It can be through partnerships and connections, and you know, so that is why we do this, and it is fun. So thank you for spending a few minutes. Looking forward to your talk.
Pleasure.
Which is great. For people that are watching or listening, where should they go to connect with you, your team, Coldfire? Where do you want to send it?
Yeah. Well, they can contact me directly, amy.williams@coldfirefederal.com. They can go to the coldfirefederal.com website. We have a ton of resources, free content available to explain. Lisa Remsa has a lot to do with that. And we have the whole team working on content all the time, because we know it's important for education purposes. And then cmmc@coldfirefederal.com is another way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. Really appreciate it,
Derek.
And we'll have you on again, because this is the best part of this, is that in 12 months from now, we'll be talking about the same topic, and there'll be different answers and different experiences. And that's kind of the journey, right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about QuickTrack, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's CUICKTRAC.com.